Welcome back, Changemakers. This is Simon Phillips, and this is The Change Show. I've got a really special guest I want to introduce you to now, Joshuel Rogers. Joshuel and I have only met very recently, but he was a big recommendation by two of the people that we've met before, David Chislett and Jude Germain. Joshuel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going great. It's lovely to meet you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you based? What are you up to?
So a little bit about myself. I'll always start with the important roles. So I'm a husband and I'm a dad. That's one, you know, that's the important stuff. You know, that's the stuff we start with. And I'm also a trainer, coach, founder of Hip Hop Culture Coaching. And I'm based in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. That's where I live. But in this new online period of time, you can say you're based almost everywhere. So I say the same.
That's so true. And of course, you know, when you said that hip hop culture coach, I mean, who isn't? I mean, isn't everybody a hip hop culture coach these days? Come on, so if, can't so just if, say
if,
that.
If you find me another one, please let me know. So, like I said, I'm the founder of Hip Hop Culture Coaching. And what we do there is we combine the world of coaching with the hip hop culture to bring about change in communication, bring about change within teams. And like I said, you heard already, I do it for teams. So where we focus on the communication on, hey, what's going on within the company? What changes are there? How does those changes affect the people in the company? But I also give workshops to youth, and then it's really focused on youth empowerment. Hey, who am I? Where do I want to go to? And how we do that? Yeah, we combine hip hop culture, and a lot of people are now thinking, probably the guy gives rap workshops, or maybe gives DJ workshops, or maybe graffiti workshops, or maybe something with dancing. So what we actually do is we use the creative components of, could be rap, could be graffiti, it could be breaking, or it could be DJing, to bring about thoughts from, I'm gonna call it, the more creative, the more subconscious, up to the conscious level. And then from there, conversations take place, and then it's really actually conversations about what is going on. If you're talking about teams, what is going on in the company? How does it make you feel? What is needed for change? And the hip hop aspects brings an extra fun, that extra also lowers, I'm going to call it, the barrier, start speaking about those issues.
Okay. I'm going to be fascinated to get into that with you a bit later and just understand and pick that apart of, you know, how do you actually do that? But tell us a little bit then about how you came to this point. I mean, it couldn't have been a straightforward journey to set up hip hop culture coaching.
Definitely not. So when I speak to people in Rotterdam, I tell them I've done everything that every job that there's that's let's say typical for Rotterdam, except work for the football company that's here, Feyenoord. So for the listeners, what I did, I grew up in the Caribbean, and from in the Caribbean in my teens, I first learned about the hip hop culture. That was already a little a thingy, because that is way back in the 90s when hip hop wasn't that big. And from there, that's where my love for hip hop grew. Later on, I came to the Netherlands to study, and I came to study architecture. I was not real successful in, let's say, studying in the school or the university. I was more successful in the school of life. And what I did is I did various blue and white collar jobs. So you can think on, I worked as a fire watch. I also worked in social services, but also worked for a multinational as a finance controller. Mm-hmm. And when I was at the multinational, there was a reorganization. And then came the point of, okay, what am I going to do and what do I really enjoy doing?
Yeah.
And what I enjoy doing is helping others become the best version of themselves, helping them through change periods. So we have it about change, of periods of change, and how they can best go about that. So that was, hey, coaching, that is my thing. And then someone's like, yeah, but you know, there are a million coaches out there. What makes you so different? I was like, oh, that's a really good question. And while I was busy with my neurolinguistic programming practitioner, I just had an aha moment. And I was like, hey, I saw a bunch of different links within it. That's I can connect this to the various elements of hip hop. I can connect things with colors, sound, waves of speech. Oh, and like that, seed was born. And then I just kept watering and the tree grew. And that's how hip hop culture coaching started.
And is it just you, Joshua, or have you got other people that you work with as well in your hip hop tribe?
Yeah, I also have other people that I work with. So, for example, hey, I'm not the best dancer, so I'm not really a breaking person. But then I have a guy who's really into dance, and he helps out on that front. And then I also have a guy who also, now he's still rapping, he still does a lot with words, spoken words. And he also does on the side, not on the side, but let's say he also does work with coaches, trainings, and within companies. So from there, we had a good click. And then he saw the vision, I'm going to call it like that. So both of them saw the vision. They're like, oh yeah, we can do awesome things with this.
Brilliant. And what took you to Holland or the Netherlands in the first place?
So what took me to the Netherlands in the first place? So I grew up in St. Martin in the Caribbean.
Mm.
And quite, I'm going to call it a small island. And I from there, I did, I'm going to call it middle school, secondary education. I did it there. And then it was like, okay, there is a university, but do I want to follow my course there? Or do I want to go to the Netherlands where there's more opportunities? And I decided, okay, then I'm going to come to the Netherlands, do my studies here. And that's here I started, like I said, with architecture. I also did called technical business management for a while. And I was like, okay, studying is not really my thing. I just want to get to work. And then that's how the ball got rolling.
And I'm interested to know why the Netherlands? Was there a number of people that had gone before you from St. Martin's? Or was it just something you looked at on the internet one day and just thought, that's where I want to be?
So St. Martin is half Dutch, half French.
Okay.
So they're old colonies of, well, one half is an old colony of France. Mm. The other one is an old colony of the Netherlands. And so it's easy to make the jump. You can. There are also those that say, you know what, I'm going to go to the United States. Because that's also real close and there's a lot of influences. But I chose to go to the Netherlands. I was like, I'm going to go over there. There's, of course, I have family here. That helps. But it pulled me more to come towards this side of the world.
Awesome. So, what was it like looking for your first clients with this thing that you maybe, you know, you had a passion for, but you didn't necessarily know if there was going to be someone who would buy or need your help in the way that maybe you had it in your mind
when
you got started?
Oh, that's very, very exciting. And keyword that we have today, very interesting because of course, when, like I said, if someone hears something with hip hop or with coaching, they're automatically going to think, okay, this has to do with staying, I'm going to go entering the music business or staying within the music business or giving, for example, rap workshops where it's more about the fun aspect of it.
Mm.
But for me, it was key to also highlight the other side of it. So then really speak to my customer as in, hey, what we're going to work with is the change within, I'm going to specify it now to companies, change within companies, leadership change, communication within companies, and how that can affect productivity. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I can make the link towards the creative side and the creative boost that actually help those last, the elements, let's call it the business elements that leaders find really important. So the productivity, or how is it gonna help us on the bottom line? And so making that link and explaining that, that was the, that's the biggest challenge.
Who likes, what, if you were to sort of typify who loves what you do the most, which group really gets it, and, you know, and constantly referring you everywhere?
Ooh, so on the of course on the education end, that's there, it really flourishes, because it's something that really speaks to the youth, of course.
Yeah.
And it's easy, then it can easily make a link to their audience, I'm gonna call it.
Mm.
And when we look at the business end, it's, I'm gonna call it really the business leaders that dare to step out their comfort zone, but also look for different methods and different ways to trigger the ones that they work with.
Okay, so it's a fresh approach to topics that have been around forever. And it's giving people new access, new language, I guess, to think about.
Yeah, a new language, but also new ways to think about it. So to give you, I do a lot also with like colors, and I use the colors to start the conversation. So then, and from there, because everybody likes the color. Everybody likes the color. It's something you carry with you from your youth. And later on, you grow up, everyone has associations with colors, but everyone also has different associations with colors. Mm. So where one would see the color green and they would think on nature, someone else might have a totally different perspective on it. And when you start conversations from that end, then it's the conversations are different. It's not anymore about, hey, you're not that good at this and blah. No, it's you look at it from a different perspective, where you can actually give feedback to each other in a quite natural way without having to think, oh, I might hurt this guy's feeling, or this is not what I meant, or it gives it the little playful extra that makes it also lowers the barrier of communication.
I can imagine you've got tons of stories of working with clients where they get unusual breakthroughs because of the angles that you're coming at with this. So have you got anything that springs to mind that's a funny story from the way somebody's responded to this process?
So one that springs to mind, and is also one that because it also surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the exercises that I have that I do with clients and they're together is like, I'd be like, hey, okay, Simon, you're going to draw your name, but you're not going to be the guy to color it in. You're going to give that to someone else. And with this particular group, the person who colored it in made it into a camouflage pattern. I was like, okay, this could be very interesting. And he was like, yeah, I made it a camouflage pattern because, of course, the person works with us, but he also does freelance outside of the company. And that way he kind of comes in, does what he has to do, and then he can disappear again. And the guy's like, and for me, that's camouflage is the first thing that came to mind.
Mm.
And so then he had the pattern, but then also the colors also say something. So while in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, someone, they're going to be all about the colors. There are those who also go even deeper into that and then work with the patterns that the colors can create.
That's an amazing example, isn't it? Because you can just imagine what was going on in their heads at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a really brilliant example, because there's obviously a lot of huge creativity going into what people are physically doing. But as you say, it's their interpretation, it's what they're doing in the moment, and that creates those vibrant conversations. So, I mean, effectively what you're doing there is engaging both sides of the brain, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. So you have the, I'm going to call it the logical side and the emotional side, but also, of course, the creative side.
So I do workshops where I help teams pull together their vision.
Mm-hmm.
The way we do it is to cut pictures out of magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
Collages, and it's all in the, you know, it's how the whole thing looks. It's how the individual components look.
Yeah.
Brains are working in different ways. What they don't realize in the moment, though, is the conversations that they're happening at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and so the reason why I chose for a lot of, I'm going to call it conversational type workshops, is of course working in different sectors. I did a lot of team building workshops, exercises, and almost every time someone would say, yeah, but didn't really, really get to communicate with each other. And just like how you said, hey, while by you they're cutting, they're sticking, and they're communicating with each other, it's the communication is what really grows, puts the team together, what actually is makes them take a step forward. Because the more you communicate with someone, the more you dare to open up, so the trust comes is a big factor. You know, the more you speak with someone, the more you start to trust them, and the more you open up, and the more vulnerable you dare to become.
Absolutely. So I can see how the graffiti piece comes in. I can see how the music might stimulate people in different ways. Tell me a little bit more about the dancing, because I would imagine if I was you know, someone coming along to one of your workshops, that might be the thing I might be fearing the most.
The most.
Am I gonna dance, or have you got somebody else that's going to dance for me? How does it work?
So how it works is, so if we look at the breaking perspective, really we chose a bunch of exercises or dance moves that one everyone can do. So it doesn't matter if you're I'm going to call it the most fittest person in the world, and you're an Olympic athlete, or
I can see you're looking at me there. Yeah, go on.
or that you're just, you know, the one who's more experienced in the company, who has little knee aches or whatever, to be like, that's not a good idea. So what we did, we looked for exercises that everyone could do, but also that actually stimulates communication with each other. So yeah, you have exercises where as a team, it could be that maybe you have to create a knot or get out of a knot using techniques, using dance moves and techniques that you learned. Or it could be you have to create something together totally different.
Yeah.
And okay, where we really, like I said, focus on is the communications you have with each other, but with dance is also the communication you have with yourself. You know, you're busy with your body, and that brings also a type of mindfulness with it.
Yeah. And then you're back in that space of what's going on subconsciously, how do they interact?
And while we're busy, we also, as soon as they've done something, then we really go into not in, okay, how good it looked, but more in, hey, what did you realize from his? What came out of that? Did some form of interaction do something with you that you didn't realize before?
Yeah. That's so good. Last week, I was interviewing somebody, and it was all about goals and how it's not the achievement of the goals usually that's the main thing. It's the process you go through to in shooting for your goals, if you like. So it's always the process. It's always the conversation, the learning along the way that really makes the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's also, so it's in the process is where most of the great interaction happens. I mean, within every company, hey, we've hit the goal of 1 million sales. You made the 1 million sales, but actually the path to the 1 million sales is where everyone grew, is where everyone learned to communicate with each other. Or maybe they learned, this guy isn't really my type of guy. That's where all the interaction happens. That's where the magic happens.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you've got the word culture in your company title, because this stuff, the way people interact, the way they think, the way that they talk when they don't think they're being observed, if you like.
Yeah.
That's the culture of your organization,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yep, exactly. That's you right on the head. You hit the nail right on the head. That's why the word culture is also so important. Besides that, I mean, if someone hears hip hop, they're gonna automatically think music, while it's a whole big culture. So besides that, it has to do with the culture of hip hop itself. It also is the culture that's going on within the company.
Yeah.
And culture has a huge effect, of course.
Brilliant. Well, I like to get at least one thing right during the show. So I'm gonna retire, quit while I'm ahead. What I'd like to know, though, is do you do this for yourself? Are there aspects of the work you do with clients that you do for yourself?
Oh yeah, I would say definitely. So everyone sometimes has, I'm gonna call it analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep analyzing and you're not doing anymore. You keep looking at it, and what helps me actually break out of the analysis paralysis is freestyling. And what is freestyling? So freestyling in I'm going to call it rap terms, is actually just putting on a beat and basically saying what comes to mind. Some people they rap something maybe they wrote already, but for me it was actually from when I was young. It was just in the moment, spontaneously coming up with raps, trying to rhyme and trying to impress those that were there at that moment. So we can call it a high pressure environment.
Yeah.
But how it helps me now is now doing it without thinking on, hey, who do I have to impress? I can just be at home. It helps me really get back into the mode of, hey, just doing, just, you know, when you say it aloud, it's already out there, and then your mind has to keep triggering something new, and it actually, there's no time to think, it's more time to do. So you think and do. And that really helps me to get back into the doing aspect and not getting stuck in analyzing. So that's one of my own methods that I use on myself.
Nice. And what's lovely about that is it's always the action step that people miss out, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you sit down with someone and you're trying to help them think through, so how would you like things to be different, whether that's for their health, whether that's for their career, doesn't really matter what aspect of their life they'd like to be different. They're very good at doing the thinking. They're very good at doing the planning. They're very good at doing the risk analysis. And there's, you know, all of the things that go together that should enable them to go from A to Z.
Yeah.
And yet they don't even get to B because they don't get started. So that little technique that you've said there of just rapping and getting the words together and just, as you say, from thought to action, that's really powerful.
And it's so I use it on myself. It's also something that I do within workshops, because you can imagine already doing that. I mean, I can do it here. I'm gonna call it in my home living room or under the shower, and no one is gonna notice. But when you're doing it with everyone that's around, then it turns it into a pressure cooker, but also a really nice way of getting conversations rolling. Because let's be honest, if we're looking at the world population, it's not like 90% of them are rappers. That's most likely 95% or 98% have no idea how to do it. So it also brings within teams, companies, it brings everyone actually on a level playing field. And that also brings nice conversations from there.
It's working a little bit like improv.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Mm. Only thing with it, I put a beat under it, so that makes it a little bit more mentally. People are going to think different. Oh, it has to rhyme. It has to do this. It has to do that. And with improv, you can just go ahead and go.
Yeah, excellent. So, Joshua, what I love to ask my guest is, have you had a time in your life where you were going through some significant change? And if so, what did you learn from that? How did you get through it? Because, you know, here we are, we're the experts on change and helping individuals to deal with it. What makes us experts, though, most of the time, is the fact that we've been there, we've done it. Yeah. And sometimes, unfortunately, we wore the T-shirt for way too long. But have you got a story like that?
So if I can bring it real broad, as I can grab my life story, which is actually, now that I'm thinking about it, constantly being about change. So like I said, I've done different jobs, different careers. That's already a bunch of steps of, I'm going to call it, change management. The biggest change for me personally, so where for some would be career change is a big thing, for me it was a real personal change. And that was when I separated with the mother of my eldest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And what made that a big, I'm going to call it, life-shaking change, is because there were, everyone knows the standard, hey, you're going to get kids, you're going to be together for the rest of your life, etc., etc., etc. So that broke apart. So that's already, I'm going to call it a shift in mindset of, okay, this is not going how I expected it and wanted it to go.
Mm.
So that's one aspect of big change that came about for me. That also gave a new perspective. So in the essence, for me, for some people it would look like the end. I'm gonna call it the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But from there, doing little things, it actually could be a step to something more beautiful and something better.
So while you were in the middle of that, so, you know, your world is shifting, your thoughts on how the world should be or was going to be was being shaken. How did you get through it? What helped you in those moments when you were probably feeling a lot of self-doubt and a lot of angst about it all? What helped?
So the things that helped then is, one, the people that I have around me.
Mm.
That's really, I'm going to call it, with thinking about change, your support group is really important in change. That's one. But then there's also the personal change of, hey, not everything goes the way you expect it to go, but that doesn't mean it's going to go, I'm going to call it, that doesn't mean it's going the wrong way. You can, the world is filled with stories of relationship breakups that end up totally fine later on, or that help both parties involved. And it's also more the realization that that is possible, and that even the future that you might not envision could be change to a future that is still really bright but totally different.
Yeah, I love that. So I was I often think that way when it comes to, so right now we're considering moving house, so we've seen a few different places.
Yeah.
And we put an offer in on one and that fell through, and in the moment there's an element of, oh, that's disappointing. But immediately it's about switching the mindset to, you know, whether you believe in fatalism or not, this has happened for a reason.
We're going to get something
even better. And sometimes I know I have friends that don't necessarily believe in that way of viewing the world. But even if I look back at the data, so I've moved house a number of times over the years. And every single time without fail, something has happened along the way which hasn't gone through, and I've ended up in a better place as a result of it. So even if I look at the data, it works out as well.
and the funny thing is, like, you could look at the data of our lives and actually see that exact same pattern. So, like I said, I've changed jobs, I don't know, a significant number of times. I've also, of course, moved from country to country. I've attempted to do various different studies, and every time it was a change, unexpected change, but it was still a change on the long term. It was a change for the better.
Yeah.
And usually when you're in the moment, it doesn't feel like it's a change for the better. But this, like they say, hindsight is 20/20. So when you look back, it's like, oh, well, that worked out just fine, actually. And it's also for anyone who is in a, I'm going to call it a personal change at the moment. Just think on when you look back, it's just going to be a little bump on the road.
Yeah. And it's so significant, the support that we can reach out to, isn't it? And so one of the books I wrote was around networking. And in a professional context, it's great to build alliances, build relationships, people that you can support, and you can rely on, but equally that you can support. And it's always about the phrase, you know, dig your well before you need the water.
Yeah,
is totally true when it comes to relationships. You know, you should be forming those relationships all the time, because you just never know who you can help, but equally who may be able to help you. And I think, you know, in that instance, you benefited from the fact that you had some great relationships around you. So thanks for that. That was a fab story. Let me ask you now then, the most important part of the interview, which is, what record are you going to choose from the 70s, 80s or 90s? What record are you going to choose that brings a smile to your face, or is a absolutely hugely important record in your life for whatever reason? Which one have you gone for?
So I was actually thinking on this, which record I'm going to choose. And I've decided on choosing the record that impacted me the most. And there are a lot of records that impacted me, but this one is actually what laid the basis to, I'm going to call it, the future, to the present. And to give a little background, so I grew up in the Caribbean in the 90s, when hip hop was not really the cultural behemoth that it is now. And there's a lot of dance hall, a lot of soca, a lot of reggae, and that's actually what was the most in at that time. And then there was one song in particular that made me look at hip hop and be like, okay, this is gonna be my thing. And that song is from the legendary group, probably everyone from our age knows it because they're a worldwide phenomenon. That's the Wu-Tang Clan. And the song is called Protect Your Neck.
Fabulous. So tell me, where did you encounter this first?
I first encountered it on cable television. And how did that happen? So in the 90s, there was also, you had MC Hammer, of course.
Yep.
You had Crisscross with Jump. And when I was small, I was like, hey, I heard it somewhere on the radio. And then I knew on TV, we had a music station. We had that time it was BET, and I clicked it on, and usually I would just put it on just to see that video and walk around. And while I was in that process, the video from Wu-Tang Clan came along, and it was like, the video itself, the aesthetics, the way it's nine different guys but still working together, the just how they were, their bravado, that just captured me.
Excellent. So it was an assault on your sensory system, I guess. You know, it was the visuals, it was the music.
Yeah, it was
totally absorbed by it all.
Yeah, I was totally absorbed by it all. And then there's this one that I'm going to call it. He's not living anymore, but he's a character in his own right, and that's Old Dirty Bastard. So I was like, this guy is crazy. I like this guy. And then looking back later, so you get older and then you look back on your life and you're like, you notice how much certain people, without you know, affect the way you look at the world, but also affect the way how you will go about things. Mm. I mean, he was someone that he would just do whatever. It's he would walk on stage at random places, and he was also real brutally honest. And I think that is also what probably, in essence, also kept me really into him as a person and a character, and that really gravitated towards myself.
Yeah, definitely. Wonderful. Joshua, thank you so much for giving us an insight into your world as well as your world of work. I think that has been really exciting. So tell us, how can people get hold of you if they want to find out more?
So how can people get a hold of me? You can... easiest way that you can easily find me and get a hold of me is on LinkedIn. So you can there you can connect with me personally. Or you can also go to hiphopculturecoaching.com if you want to learn more about hip hop culture coaching. But you can also go to joshuarogers.com and see more about me. I'm also findable on Instagram, Facebook. I'm going to keep it to those because you can have a bunch of channels, but that's where you're probably going to get response from me on a timely basis.
Wonderful. Joshua, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being here and being my
guest
today here on The Change Show. I look forward to getting back together with you again soon. Take care.
Yes, take care.
That was Joshua Rogers. This has been Simon Phillips on The Change Show. Go and have a fantastic week, and we'll see you right back here again, this time next week. Take care.